Rod's Pulse Podcast number 75, interview with Dr. John Flores of the United States Distance Learning Association.
This is Rod's Pulse Podcast, the podcast for faculty and students interested in learning how to use and create podcasts and other e-learning technologies. Welcome back.
Hi, this is Rod Murray. Welcome back. That was a clip from a piece called Winter Moon by Rhonda Lawrence. I really like her new age viola music. She's won a number of awards, and I played her music once before. I think you'll like it. Stay tuned to the end of my podcast for the full song. Before my main topic today, I'd like to give you three picks from Rod's Picks. Don't forget, you can see the links to these articles on my podcaster guide and e-learning news at www.podcaster-guide.com. The first article I'd like to share to you was called Seven Real Reasons Why iPhone is a Smash Hit. Since its launch on July 11, Apple sold almost 7 million 3G iPhones in the quarter, bringing the total number of iPhones sold so far to almost 13 million. They had a $106 million profit on iPhone-related revenues for the quarter. And they're planning to sell the iPhone in 70 countries. Right now it sells in 51 countries. So I think from certainly an economic standpoint for Apple, they are very successful. The most important thing, I think, is that in the 102 days since the Apple iPhone apps store open, nearly 200 million iPhone apps have been downloaded, and there are over 5,000 apps available on their store. So this seems to be the platform to beat. I think it's going to be very important in education now and in the foreseeable future. Other phones have come out, like the G phone, based on the Google operating system. However, I think it's a little premature to invest in that phone. There's some downside. It doesn't sync with Outlook, so it's not really designed for the corporate arena yet. And it's the first phone. I would look at that phone as a beta, just like a lot of the Google apps come out first as beta. The G phone certainly has a lot of potential, but for now, I think the iPhone really has the upper hand. In interest of full disclosure, I do own some Apple stock, and I just bought an iPhone, so I really do like it, and I certainly endorse it. The next piece of news I'd like to mention has to do with social networking. We've talked about social networking in the past and the usefulness of different social networking applications for education. This article talks about Twitter being one of the fastest growing social networking sites. Within about a year, they've gone from 500,000 to over 2.4 million visitors. And for those of you who don't know about Twitter, it's really a microblogging site. It uses the protocol of SMS text messaging to send out brief messages. So if you want to, in their terminology, if you want to follow someone, you subscribe to their Twitter site and you can receive notices on your cell phone or on the website about what that person is doing. So you can follow me, for example, if you go to twitter.com/rodspods. Another social networking site that's been growing very fast is LinkedIn. It's tripled its audience. They have over 12 million users now. It's really, like I like to say, Facebook for adults. It's certainly great if you're looking to develop new business contacts and keep in touch with friends and colleagues. So it's another social networking site which has become very important. And the last article I want to mention today is entitled Case Settled, Google to Become Bookseller. Google said that it will get into bookselling business as a part of an ambitious settlement of a copyright lawsuit. The agreement, if approved by the court, will go beyond the typical settlement. The deal calls for Google to pay $125 million to fund a new book rights registry, similar to the music's the music industry's ASCAP and BMI. If that happens, it will mark the first new collective rights organization in decades. So it sounds very interesting. Certainly Google has the wherewithal to do that. As you may have heard, Google was scanning books from public libraries, and including some books that were under copyright. So part of the settlement, Google agreed to pay $60 for each book it scanned without permission. So it looks like Google is moving in on some other territory dominated today by sites such as Amazon. Now for the main topic today, I interviewed Dr. John Flores. He's the executive director of the United States Distance Learning Association. They've been in business for a long time. Their central mission is to promote distance learning many different ways. Of course, one of the issues that prompted this was the fact that National Distance Learning Week is starting next week, the week of November 10th, and the USDLA has been very prominent in offering free online events and webinars. So without further ado, here's my interview with Dr. John Flores.
I have John Flores on the phone here, and I want to thank you, John, for being willing to speak to my audience on Rod's Pulse podcast. In a couple of weeks, we'll be celebrating National Distance Learning Week, and I thought it'd be great to hear from you and learn a little bit more about the United States Distance Learning Association. Could you tell me a little bit about yourself and the USDLA and what your mission is?
Sure. Well, as you've already mentioned, Rod, the name is John Flores, and I have a role as the executive director of the association, helping to lead really a global enterprise in promoting distance learning around the world. We really have a primary goal of trying to unite learners that are using any form of distance learning technology, whether it be online, video conferencing-based, or satellite-based, and bringing them collectively together, both from a student perspective and instructor perspective, in trying to make connections for folks within the distance learning industry, no matter what particular role you might be playing. When I think, or we as an association think about distance learning, as I've already mentioned, we're really open to numerous types of technologies because we don't support any one particular one over another. But just as important, we have a number of different constituencies, both from the pre-K through 12 level to the higher ed, government, corporate, military, telehealth, and homeschooling. And these are all folks, some individuals, some corporations, some schools, who collectively join the association to really get information, to exchange ideas, to create opportunities within the distance learning arena for themselves or for their students or for their clients. And as we look at the association as a whole, I mean, that really reflects our primary mission, which is to serve the distance learning community by providing advocacy, information, networking, and opportunity. We try to help folks stay connected, try to keep them ahead of the trends in distance learning, whether it's computer-based, whether it's instructor-led, whether it's online, whether it's blended, whether it's webinars. So our role is to always position the association as a go-to location for folks to be able to gather information about the industry. And again, whether you are a student who wants to know about our programs, we have something called our Distance Learning Link program, where colleges and schools and universities will register on our website and will connect someone who's looking for information to that particular school by having them originally come to a USDLA. Because if one is to Google distance learning as a keyword subject, if you will, chances are at some point they're going to wind up on the USDLA.org website. And I would share with anyone who is listening to this podcast today or tomorrow or in the future to take a look at www.usdla.org, O-R-G, because on that website you will find all kinds of information, from news and events to how to become a member to how to become a sponsor to just generic information that reflects our distance learning journals, our e-newsletters, and again, with the whole focus being on distance learning, with distance learning really being in its most broadest definition, reflective of really an industry that has really just grown in leaps and bounds over the past 10 years since I have been engaged in the business, since the mid-90s. So that's sort of who we are and what we're about and what we encourage. And obviously, we look forward to having anyone who might be interested in listening to this podcast to become a part of the association.
That's great. I was looking at your website, and of course, I'll have the URL on my podcast show notes. Do you do some lobbying with our Congress?
We can't lobby because we are a 501c3, but we can educate and instruct. And so we do try to look at what is in the best interests of the learner in terms of distance learning kinds of legislation and opportunities. And through our numerous state chapters that we have across the country, we work with them also, in essence, really having them keep us aware of what's going on within a particular region of the country or a particular state within the country relative to distance learning legislation. We do have a policy committee that tries to monitor what's happening at the federal level as well as the state level. And those issues that we think that are important enough to us and to the industry, we'll send information packets, we'll send letters, but as far as lobbying, that we can't do it, we don't do it. But we do try to let folks know where we stand on particular issues. And many times when it's something that's impacting education, coalitions form representing a number of different education-related associations. So sometimes we'll join with large groups that speak to particular issues. And again, from my perspective, I'm always looking at what is it that is in the best interests of the learner. Even when there are competing interests of members, you know, I might have a corporation versus a university versus the learner. Ultimately, if I have to err on the side of what I think is the most appropriate direction to go, I always put the learner first and foremost.
Is it too early to see any impact on distance learning because of the slowing economy and rise of fuel prices? Have you seen any trends developing?
Yeah, well, there is a whole going green trend, if you will, within distance learning that many folks feel that distance education is an opportunity for people to be able to attend classes or courses or programs from their home, especially if it's an online type of program, and at the same time be able to get an education but not be spending money on gasoline and time away from one's home. So it's that whole concept of distance education does have a green flavor to it, if you will. And actually on our website, we do have a number of articles that point to that. One in particular, why distance education is better for the environment. And it goes through the details of in an economy where gas prices are out of control, where folks are busy, it's best probably not to get into the automobile, not to create that car exhaust that somehow is going to contribute to global warming. The whole issue of just how we deal with human population growth and how we make programs available to them as opposed to them coming to us, we'll bring it to them electronically and have lots of savings, if you will, on the emissions of, you know, CO2 and other things that point toward at least contributing to global warming and all of the issues that go with a lesser than green kind of environment.
I noted that National Distance Learning Week is coming up. I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about that and your participation and what's in store for students and faculty that want to participate.
Sure. National Distance Learning Week will kick off on Monday, November 10th. And really, it's a week-long series of events in partnership with our state chapters, in partnership with the national office, promoting, if you will, the advocacy for distance learning through a series of webinars, through a series of workshops, and creating opportunities for people to become engaged through these webinars with an introduction to distance learning or an experience that helps them as perhaps an educator, perhaps a learner. And we do that in partnership with two of our sponsors of the association, Illuminate and WIMBA, through their classrooms, that will be having a number of webinars that will focus on all of the various constituencies that I've already talked about. There'll be webinars for those who are interested in K-12, there'll be webinars for those who are interested in higher education, be those that have a corporate perspective. So there'll be something for everyone to participate with the ultimate goal of heightening, if you will, the awareness of distance learning, what it means to the education industry, what it means to the economy, and most importantly, what it means to really creating opportunities for folks to access knowledge, with the ultimate goal being that knowledge is power, and with that power, then one becomes a better citizen, of the country who is more informed, better educated, and folks that perhaps traditionally did not have access to outside programs now can access those through the power of the Internet. So there'll be a series of programs ongoing with that. At the same time, during the course of just preceding that, the weekend of November 7th, we will be publishing in partnership with USA Today. There will be an insert in the USA Today weekend newspaper that will go out on Friday, November 7th, talking about Distance Learning Week, as well as the insert which will look at sort of practical stories about how people have used distance learning, are using distance learning, and again, hoping to create opportunities, if you will, for anyone that might read that to be able to access information that might help them become a learner in some kind of a distance learning program, or at least at a minimum make them aware of the distance learning opportunities that exist. So we'll be rolling out some press. We will obviously be having these webinars, and all of that information is available on the website at www.usdla.org.
USA Today must have a pretty large circulation. I guess you get a pretty good response from that.
Yeah, basically, it's interesting. USA Today has about 2.5 million newspapers that they distribute, perhaps not the traditional daily that someone gets delivered to their house, but more or less airports and hotels. And I mean, some people do subscribe to it, but it's a different subscriber base than traditional newspapers. And so we think we reach, if you will, lots of folks who have a genuine interest in distance learning, especially working professionals who might be on the road, who might be staying at a hotel, and pick up the USA Today newspaper. And in that paper, we'll look at that insert and say, hey, you know, I can probably get my master's in business, or I can get my master's in education, or maybe I want to pursue a doctorate, that there are opportunities from fully accredited schools from around the country that offer these kinds of programs to those folks that really, don't have the time or the desire to attend class in the traditional setting, whereas through the distance learning opportunities, it's pretty much in anywhere, anytime, any place opportunity for the students. So it's really student-centered as opposed to university-centered as traditional programs are.
Well, I have just one last question for you. I wonder if you could give me your thoughts on what the most exciting new technology the coming down the pike that will benefit distance learners. Technology changes pretty quickly. Is there anything you can share about what the trends are and what the latest technologies are going to bring to people?
Well, I think in terms of trends, obviously, when you look at all of the add-ons, if you will, whether it's related to Microsoft, whether it's related to Apple, whether it's related to any of the application programs, I think ultimately what you're going to find is really an increase in the level of mobile learning, i.e. through the phone. The cell phone is really ubiquitous. You know, you can be anywhere, anytime, any place, and someone will have that cell phone on. And I think portable from PDAs to just mobility is really where the future is moving. And you will begin to see technologies, I think, that will allow that learner to pick up that class or that course or that program on their cell phone. At a high level of interchange, at a high level of both visual and aesthetic quality that perhaps we don't see today. And when you look at what that will do, if you will, for mankind in general, it's just absolutely amazing to even begin to think about that, whether it be in the States, whether it be in Europe, whether it be in Asia. There will be remote parts of the world that for the first time, by just using a cell phone and cell transmission, will be able to receive really significant pieces of information that will make them, again, that much more knowledgeable. And as we all know, knowledge is power, and it makes for a better human being.
I recall reading that more people connect to the Internet through mobile phones than any other way these days. So it certainly seems to be the trend. Well, John, I want to thank you so much for talking to my audience.
Sure.
And I look forward to activities on National Distance Learning Week.
It'll be an exciting week. And again, in closing, I would just encourage any of the listeners to check us out once again at www.usdla.org, and hopefully we will get you engaged in distance learning somehow, some way, and get you involved in some programs.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you, Rod. I appreciate it. Bye-bye now.
Well, that's about all I have for today. Please stay tuned for the full song Winter Moon by Rhonda Lawrence. So until next time, have a great week.
Please leave Rod feedback at 610-616-2199.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Please don't forget to leave Rod feedback. You can go to www.rodspulsepodcast.com and leave comments on his blog. You can send feedback to his email address, rod@rodspulsepodcast.com. You can also send audio feedback by calling into his comment line at 610-616-2199. Till next time, have a great week.
The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Merry, and does not represent the official viewpoint of Thomas Jefferson University, or any other institution or company.